People normally associate the following Yiddish phrase with brisker learning, and I'll try to describe it briefly. They first tell you brisker learning because people talk about the brisker style, try to apply the brisker style, try to differentiate which yeshivas in the world. The truth is, many, if not most, of the yeshivas in the world that currently study Talmudic analysis or alumnas really study brisker, and it's a question of more structurally, whether you're learning sugyos or topics or solving a tosus or b'kiv egre, it's a larger conversation. But essentially, whenever you have a contradiction, you can either make a technical solution. One technical solution is in Ukimta, that the Gemaras are talking about different cases, so you've technically solved it. Or you can create a quantitative solution, which is also technical, that it's a little bit more, a little bit less of the same concept applied. So if a person, I'm going to take a concept, the person is jealous, just popped into my mind. You'd be a little more jealous, a little less jealous. If you're more jealous about something, you'll act out. If you're less jealous, you'll act more moderate and more contained. So if you want to distinguish between two people, you call the first person really jealous and the other person less jealous. Really strong, less strong. Basically a quantitative scale. And then there's a different way, which is a brisker approach category. So when you have different halachos, even though or different halachic manifestations, they seem to revolve around the same halacha. It's paraduma this, it's paraduma that, or it's kinyan this, it's kinyan that. So the solution is two categories, that there are two types of kinyan, two elements of kinyan, das and maisa, two types of knowledge or will that's necessary to trigger halachic transaction. One of the most famous questions, Reb Chaim. Again, to a lot of people who study brisker, they should be very resonant. To those who haven't been exposed to it, hopefully provides a little bit of a cue that the different details in Shas are reflective of larger categories, two types of das, two types of kinyan, two types of hekdesh, two types of... And once you have those categories, what makes brisker lamdas so powerful is you can then apply those categories. Well, once we've built two types of kinyan, what other halachos are going to be impacted by those two types of kinyan? Namely, the systemic logic of Shas, not just localized interactions with, you know, trying to solve problems. Anyway, that's a brief. I'm looking at my the recorded 2-minute description of Brisk. You'd be surprised how much of these two different approaches are discovered in the Sfas Emes on the Torah. Now, who in their right mind would associate the Sfas Emes on the Torah with Brisk or Lamdas? Well, first of all, if you read the Sfas Emes al Shas, you wouldn't be so surprised because he didn't have the brisker language and wasn't as organized in the same way that Reb Chaim really built the system, but there's a lot of brisker thought in the Sfas Emes al Shas. It's really one of my favorite underrated Sfarim on Shas. In any event, in the Sfas Emes on the Torah, there's a lot of brisker thought and a lot of brisker type two different ways. And the beauty of the two different ways is that they're very often when you have a mefarish will make a point. And sometimes to highlight that point, he'll contrast it. And getting another point. It's not this, but it's this. It's not this approach, but that approach. It's not this theory, but this theory. And so there's a weighing or consideration of the two areas, and there's a contrast that allows the preferred, currently articulated idea to be showcased or spotlighted. So I say, oh, it's not a, he's not a left-wing person, he's a right-wing person. He's not a chassid, he's a litvak. So talking about two systems, they've essentially employed one system just as a foil or a background to negate it to better highlight the other. And in the Sfas Emes al Torah, you have very often shtei bechinos, shtei durachim, in Avodas Hashem. And the premise is that you're not rejecting one at the expense of the other, which you have in a lot of other, even Rishonim al Torah. Not that the first one is rejected, but in this context it's rejected. Maybe the Ramban will describe that other system in some other location, some other piece of the Ramban, as it were. But in this piece, it's not this, but it's that, which is pretty much de rigueur for many, many Sfarim. And in the Sfas Emes, you'll oftentimes have Tzvei Dinim in Avodas Hashem. He doesn't call it Tzvei Dinim. He calls it, generally, Shtei Bechinos, two different approaches. So that's a nice introduction to the Sfas Emes that I wanted to discuss. And that is two different ways to live your life as an Oved Hashem, based on the pasuk in this week's parsha, Parsha's Pinchas, LaRav Tarben Nachaloso, VeLamat Tamit Nachaloso. So it's talking about the allocation of land in Eretz Yisrael, but obviously any pasuk that talks about more or less, LaRav Tarben, especially a pasuk which is seemingly so articulate and verbose, LaRav Tarben, LaMat Tamit, once you know LaRav Tarben, you can imply, excuse me, you can infer, Lamat tamit nachlas. So why does the Torah have to duplicate larav tabel lamat tamit? So Sasemis talks about shtei bechinos. So there you have it. Two dinim, two different approaches to avodas Hashem. Basically, one approach is the approach that's pivoted on humility, self, not self-denial in a false way, but realizing the afsus adam, the insignificance of man, and certainly the insignificance not just of man with a capital M, but the insignificance of you as a person. And then there's another approach that's not lam'at tamit, to be memayit yourself, but larav tarbeh, to be marchiv yourself, to develop and to have belief in your talents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, and to lead to what you call his rachavus, an expansion of self, an expansion of personality. And he feels, of course, based on the pasuk, that each is a legitimate approach. And not only is each an legitimate approach, but this is how he interprets the famous Gemara in Brachos, Echad Hamarbe V'Echad Hamamit Uvavach Yechabin Libu L'Shamayim, which typically means those who learn more Torah, those who learn less Torah, but based on his interpretation of the pasuk in Pinchas, Echad Hamarbe V'Echad Hamamit means people who are marbe themselves, who expand themselves, and people who shrink themselves in an attempt to be more humble and less attuned to their own potential, to their own growth. Not growth, it's a bad word. To their own talent. And not only that, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't just build these capacities within us, but it also enables or facilitates those who choose each approach. A Kodesh Baruch Hu facilitates so that Torah, which is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's facilitator, the tool he gave us to lead us to him, can lead to rachavos, and anyone who's learned Torah understands the experience of rachavos, the mind expansion, the personality expansion, the time expansion, that you just live, all of a sudden you feel like you're exposed to something larger than self, and that exposure broadens the self. And then for some people, Torah leads to humility, into a shrinkage of self when you stand in the eternity of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to a degree, this is really the difference between Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, and Torah, of course, facilitates each. And our Kadosh Baruch Hu facilitates through Torah, larav tarbeh v'lamat tamit. So here's the Sfas Emes, and again, this is something that it's very subtle, but you don't have it too often, saying that there's a choice in life. And there isn't just one way. There isn't just one approach in this approach. Very often, we get the sense there's one approach. And even if there are other approaches that are stated in other locations, they're not stated as a choice, as options. You have to cobble together. Well, I see a Ramban here, or I see a Mesil Sesharim here, and I can put it alongside something that Rebbe Chanan said, or something that the Chafetz Chaim said, and I could start to see. Here, there are two statements, obviously. One statement is that there are two approaches side by side, Larav Tarbeh Lamat Tamit. And the second statement, of course, which is what I'm inserting to this Vas Emes, is ideally, a person should have a little bit of each in them. Should have a little bit of his rachavos and a little bit of anivus, and the rachavos should lead to anivus, and the anivus should lead to his rachavos, because any paradox in a relationship with Hashem or his Torah is meant to be sustained, to be merged, to be united, rather than to be chosen as one versus the other. Evidently, there's a famous story, which I'm paraphrasing, which I've talked about before, the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim V'Lajan, asked the Rav whether he should take a certain project. I forget what it was, but the Rav told him he shouldn't, because he said, "Du bist a clever nicht a firmer. You're a smart person, you're not a firm person." Of course, Chaim V'Lajan was a pretty firm person in my book. But I think what the Vilna Gaon was saying is that Hashem builds within each person different predilections, different inclinations. Some people's inclination is to be a firmer, piety, simplicity, one way, black and white, devotion. And some people, their core DNA is kluger. Klugkeit, that they're smart, they're wise, they're broad, and it's hard naturally to have both. And the challenge of life is to fill yourself out and to become both and to know what you are naturally and then to try to acquire that other part. So if you're naturally a pious person who sees things in very devotional ways and very submissive ways, and that's your core, then how can you learn that life isn't always monotonic and black and white and only one way, and by exposure to differences and different ideas, you can actually intensify that piety, not compromise it. And if you're naturally a wise person and you're sensitive to subtlety, nuance, sophistication, different thinking, well, that could become very confusing and very morally distracting. And so how do you lock in that? I always thought that was really the difference between David HaMelech and Shlomo. Shlomo is the Chacham David's the frumer. Shlomo writes Shir HaShirim. David writes Tehillim. Shlomo says Reishis Chachma Kinei Chachma. David says Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. He doesn't say this Vaz Emes, but he does say, and this is the final point, that ultimately, and I'll read you the language, Imki Hanava Olsa Al Kulam, humilities, is more important than both. So he does weigh in with his chosen trait, and that vote would seem to apply to all people, even to the Marchivim, even to the Marbim, but in a larger sense, it's interesting that he maintains or sustains both approaches as legitimate, tu bechinos in avodas Hashem, la rav tarbe vilamat tamit.